most people, when they have a setback, they think, how do I go back and fix it all? That's the challenge right there. You should not do that. A comeback is not a go back.
Welcome to the Start My Next Chapter podcast, where David and Mandy help you navigate significant life changes and rewrite the story of your life, feeling empowered, confident, and clear about what you truly desire. It's time to release what no longer serves you and start your next chapter.
Hey friends, welcome to the very first episode of Start My Next Chapter podcast. Mandy.
We did it.
Here we go.
It's our first episode. Welcome, everyone.
As you would say, super fun.
Super fun.
Super fun. Hey, today's guest for our very first episode, we're honored to have Tim Story with us. And if you don't know Tim, Tim's appeared with Oprah on Super Soul Sunday. He is started out as a Christian pastor and preacher who traveled the globe spreading good news. He is now considered the comeback coach. Now, Mandy, I met Tim in 1992, just up the street at what was Southern California College at the time. It's now called Vanguard University. I was a freshman, I believe, and he came to speak in chapel. So at this Christian college, we had chapel 3 days a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You had to go.
That sounds thrilling.
You got like a few excused absences. Like you actually had to check in, like turn your name in. So I was friends with the campus pastor at the time, Randy Powell. And he invited a few of us to come meet this guy in his office afterwards. And the guy was Tim Story. And he was electrifying. I mean, I was 18, 19, and I thought, my God, this guy is electrifying. And so I got a chance to interview him for one of my documentaries not too long ago, several years back. And it's just great to have him on the show. So we talk all about all kinds of things. What did we talk about?
It was just such an honor to get to meet him. This was my first experience with him. I've only heard about him through you, and he's just amazing. What an amazing guy.
Let's jump into our conversation with Tim Story. Tim, it's great to have you today. Thanks so much for being with us. We really appreciate it.
It's a privilege. Good to see you both.
You have been known as a lot of different things to a lot of different people over the years. So in this stage of life, if somebody strikes up a conversation with you and says, who are you? You know, like my guess is you enter a room, you've got a presence. People go, who are you? Like, what do you do? Like, what do you say to them?
I say that I'm a humanitarian. So because I'm in a lot of different rooms for different events or supporting some of my friends that are doing things. And I think that's how I started. Hopefully that's how I'll end. And that I love to help human beings. So I am a humanitarian.
And would you say every successful person, like there's so many successful people in the world, and every one of them has a long road of ups and downs, right? You've got your highs, you've got your lows. It's a long journey. What could you tell us about your journey and your ups and downs and what your road's been like?
Well, I think you're exactly right. So you have like the plan that one sees unfolding in their lives. Some things in life you decide, some things you discover. I have found as I mature that most is on the discovery side. It's not on the decision side. Because like, remember when we, for some people that went to college, that you have to declare a major. You're like only 17 or 18, you're declaring. So it's easy to make those plans. But I think you have the plan, and then a person needs principles. But what they don't usually think about is the problems they're going to hit. So we all go through the problems, the difficulty, the challenges, the struggle, the wrestling. And then hopefully we get to that place of really getting on the pathway that we think is the right thing for us. So in my personal life, I mean, like anybody, I've gone through challenges. I don't think mine are bigger than the next person. I've been fortunate enough to have a great support group since I was a kid. And I think that's been one of the strengths of my life.
Tim, one of your notable sayings that I've heard you say many times, I think I might have even heard you say it the first time I heard you speak, which was back in 1992. I saw you at what was then Southern California College, now Vanguard University. I know in previous conversations, I've told you we met that day, which I'm sure you remember me as a 19-year-old. I'm sure you remember me.
you were tall and handsome. I remember perfectly.
There you go. There you go. But on that day and many days, you have this catchphrase, your setback is a setup for a comeback.
And yes.
A lot of people that are going to be listening to this will either have been in the midst of a setback in their life, right? Whether it's a divorce, loss of a loved one, job transition, geographical move, whatever it might be. And they may feel like they'll never come back. The best days of their life are behind them. What would you say to them?
Yeah, I think number one is I don't blame you for thinking that way. Because when we have this imagination on how things should be, it's like me being at Disneyland one day and seeing a lot of miserable people, but yet it says the happiest place on earth. And Walt Disney created it starting in the 1930s, opens it up in 1955 and calls it a magical place. So Disneyland was created for magic, but yet you see a bunch of miserable people walking around many times, not all the time. So when somebody has a setback, health crisis, something terrible happens in their childhood, maybe their parents get divorced, they didn't expect it. And then we become adults and life is frail and things happen. I think it shatters the image that they had in their mind. What I find is that most people, when they have a setback, they think, how do I go back and fix it all? That's the challenge right there. You should not do that. A comeback is not a go back. So you don't go back and fix it all and then say, wow, look at it's me again. But I think that quickly I'll take you through this. I think you have to become awake to have a proper comeback. Secondly, you have to take proper inventory. Where am I now? My mindset, my spirit, my job, my career, my family. So awake, inventory. Thirdly is doing what people are doing today. Partner with the right people. Find some people that can be there for you. And Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, pity the person who when they fall, they have no one to help them up.
So when you think about so much of the kind of like, I guess I would call it the culture of, let's just say, the motivational speaking world, or even the culture of certain elements of Christianity where it's really high on faith, right?
Yeah.
It seems like to me so much of that culture, I don't know what I want to say, denies or turns, sticks a head in the sand or turns an eye away from the challenges of life, right? And so how do we have like a positive mindset to go, whether it's in manifesting, to go, hey, I don't want to call in, right? Mm-hmm. These things, I don't want to assume that these negative things are going to be coming into my life. But the reality is, stuff does come into my life either by my own choosing or just by happenstance. How do you integrate that when you're kind of in a culture that maybe oftentimes wants to deny or avoid those challenging aspects of life?
Yeah, that's a great question. And because we're friends, we've had other conversations about this subject. So I think that when I was younger in growing in my Christian faith, there's so many messages and sermons about this life that one can live. And I think that's okay. But as you're saying now, there's a lot of challenges in life and a lot of pain in life that's not many times addressed. We would rather just say, like, you're about to get a breakthrough. But, like, even today, I got a great text from a friend of mine, and his friend died. And the friend died. He's only in his 40s. And the friend does very well, but he died. Then I got a text from a friend of mine whose daughter is in a mental institution. That's not great. Then I got another text from another friend that said, hey, you know our good friend? And then named the person. Unfortunately, she just had an aneurysm in her brain and she is in the ICU. That's not great. Now, why do I get those kind of texts? And maybe the people watching me do not. It's because what I do. I work with people for a living. I work with thousands of people. So I get these kinds of texts, emails, DMs on a daily basis. So the more you get these kinds of texts and emails and communication about challenges, you realize life is challenging. And so for me, I think we go through recovery and discovery at the same time. So I never no longer look for like this place that I'm going to hit. I'm okay being in recovery and in discovery. And I've been in this mindset for about 20 years and have walked in a lot of peace because of this mindset that I'm in.
When you say recovery and discovery, what does that mean?
Recovery from our past, recovery from our present, but open to the beautiful things in life that are right now. You know, so, I mean, Eckhart Tolle said some beautiful things about the power of now, which is actually very scriptural because it has to do with take no thought for tomorrow. If God takes care of the birds of the air, how much more will he take care of you? Or in the Buddhist philosophy, which also there's parallels to what we talk about in Christianity of being fully present, fully feeling, and fully alive. So I'm very much in the moment. I have a lot of amazing projects. I run companies. I do fun things. But I'm right here. And it's been for a long time.
And Tim, how do you know when you're on the right path? A lot of people ask that a lot. How am I on the right path? Am I on the right path? Always looking for that answer. What would you say?
Yeah. I think you need to ask. If I go to a new place, let's say I'm in Maui, and they say the Sacred Falls, I'll ask like five people, am I still on the right path? Because it seems like I've been hiking for 90 days. Yeah, keep going up the same path that says this is the path. So I'm not afraid to ask. I think you need to ask. Before I do some projects, I'll say, I've been offered this project. What do you think? But not to everybody. I have like a little inner circle. But I also pay attention to my critics. If I do something and a lot of critics come up against it, I don't push that away. I think there may be some truth in some of these things, even though they're harsh. I'm learning to be very good at coping with criticism. So to answer your question, I think it's good to ask. There can be wisdom in the multitude of counselors.
I want to go back to, you know, some of these texts that you were talking about that you received today, these really challenging situations. And oftentimes with this experience of a setback comes loss.
Yes. Right?
So I mentioned to you in a message, you know, a couple of years ago, I went through a divorce and that has impacted a massive amount of my life, including my relationship with my kids. And without getting into the details of that, I have found that I experience, and I'm hearing other people experience, a tremendous amount of grief.
Mm-hmm.
Grief of the loss of, it could be a job, it could be a move, like a geographical change, right? Like missing a home, missing a geographical area, missing friends, missing kids, you know, what missing what life used to be. even if maybe it wasn't the greatest, it was familiar.
Yes.
So how do you help people navigate through that sense of grief and loss when they've experienced tremendous life change?
I think a lot of it has to do with working on ourselves, and that's something that both of you are part of, is helping people with their own transformation, but being willing to be open to your own transformation. So I like Carol Dweck, who teaches at Stanford. She teaches on the difference between a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. A growth mindset is that we're willing to adjust, adapt, grow. Fixed is, Dad, you hurt me. This is where we're at. You got divorced. This is where we're at. That's not how I see life. I think it's all about growth, adjusting, adapting. And so I work with a lot of people that have been through divorce, because divorce is not, as you know, just in marriage. Divorce can be from friendships. It could be a company that you start with other people. Because divorce, as you may know, means divided force. D-force. Ouch. Okay, so what do we do now? We have to have a growth mindset. And we have to adjust. Christmas might be different. Thanksgiving might be different. I guarantee you this world is different. I love Ukraine. I never thought the very areas that I have stayed in many times would be bombed. I have a lot of great Russian friends. It's interesting to see the sides that they take. We all have friends that live in Israel. That's a touchy subject. We have an election coming up. That's a touchy subject. So I think we just have to keep growing, adjusting, and adapting. But the key is to work on ourselves and be in a growth mindset, and then just be very merciful to others.
Mm-hmm. There's a word that you and I are both very familiar with because of Christian culture, let's just say, and it's the word calling.
Yes.
Having a sense of calling. And one, I'd love to hear where you trace your calling back to. I'd love to hear that story of like where you had a sense of calling, what you sense you were called to. And then the third part of that question is that in the midst of your own setbacks, your own challenges in life, and I know you have had multiple challenges and setbacks along the way, did you ever feel like your calling was lost or revoked or changed in some way? So maybe start with like, when did you sense a calling on your life, and what was that calling to?
So number one, as you know, the idea of a calling is to be called to something, like an assignment, a destination. It's almost like a parent asking their children to do a chore. Clean your room, take out the trash. That is your calling for the next 2 hours. Okay? So in the Bible, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, walk worthy of the calling you've received. It's a really cool play on words, because it really means step up to the spoken word over your life. Okay? So Oprah Winfrey is my real friend, and she just did a special last night on ABC on weight loss. And she says, Tim, one of my favorite things that we talk about is this idea of the calling. And I say the calling calls you. So the calling calls you, but I don't think it's like just one assignment. I feel called to many assignments. And where I'm at in life is I just want to walk worthy of my calling. Now, so if I fail on my way to my calling, or if I fail in the midst of my calling, I don't see it anywhere near of where I did 20 years ago. To now, I just see it as welcome to life. And for anybody that's challenged by that or has an opinion of it, you know, that's their opinion. That's how they view life. That's how they see life. And I'm totally okay with them.
Tim, you've lost your edge. You've lost your edge.
You know, I like you challenging me on that. Here's the interesting thing. You know, we have 2.6 million followers alone on Instagram. I'm in 90 airports of the world every 3 hours with me motivating people in 90 airports. So every day, like I get bad news, every day I get good news, people are taking pictures like, dude, you're in the airport. All around the world. I'm in thousands of hotel rooms, same thing through this group called Reach TV, okay? I'm on the Aspire Tour, which we're hitting city a month, Aspire, A-S-P-I-R-E. We're about to do Los Angeles this coming Saturday, and Magic Johnson, myself, many other people, and we're having 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,000 people come and see us every month. So I'm still pretty swaggy, but to me, my idea of what's good and what's bad is, a lot of that has changed. And those people that think that way, that I used to think a little bit that way, not completely, you know, if it's working for them, it's working for them. Yeah. It's a big world. We have 8 billion.
So do you feel like you did? It sounds like maybe 20 years ago, you would have wrestled with, you've lost her, your calling's been changed.
Yeah, because I was one of the heads of the WWE. So I was one of the top wrestlers in the world. So like in that world, I was one of the top wrestlers in the world. So that's like if I was Hulk Hogan and then you don't get to be in the same way. It's like still Hulk Hogan. So I now see it as, wow, that was a cool time in my life that I was that guy. Mm-hmm. But now I'm this guy, and that's pretty dope too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty interesting to hear the current president quoting me the other day in one of his talks. And President Obama, when he was in, having my book on his office desk for 6 months so he could remember to turn his setbacks into comebacks. So all that stuff, I think, is very current. Very unusual for a spiritual leader to be in areas that life has taken me. But in the midst of that, I enjoyed going to a cafe down the street here and talking to the guys there, joking with them. I enjoy helping a lady at the cafe's son who's struggling with addiction. And I call him for free just to call him and check on the kid. Why do I do that? Because I feel like it. So, yeah. I like the big stuff and I like all the other stuff. I think it's all big.
What is within you, whether your spirit, your mindset, or whatever it might be, that allows you to navigate in so many different worlds and have influence in both, let's just say, Christian culture, but also, like you mentioned, in like Mind Valley and in political world, like with, right, all these. What it gives you the ability to kind of navigate in all those?
I think it's a skill set. So all three of us, we have these skill sets. Doesn't have to be singular. And from even a biblical perspective, it says, do you see a person who is skilled at their work, efficient? They will be ushered into great places. So it's interesting that my friend Michael Mina was a chef, but now he owns over 40 restaurants and does quite well. My friend Brent Bolthouse used to rent spaces to have nightclub parties. And now he's a gigantic mogul with all these restaurants everywhere. The Bungalow Huntington Beach, the Bungalow Long Beach, that's Brent, the Bungalow Santa Monica, and all these restaurants he's doing, you know, with other people as well. So, I mean, the skill of a Michael Mina being a chef, the skill of a Brent Bolthouse of being a nightclub promoter, the skill of a Tim Story being a good listener and being really great at turning people's setbacks to comebacks have led me into all these faces, spaces, and places. So that's what I think it is. Don't ask me to fix your tire. Don't ask me to cook you a gourmet meal. That's not my strength. But this other thing I can do.
Talk to us about miracle mentality. Talk to us about what does it mean to have that kind of mentality and how do you develop that?
Look at this. I even wrote a book on it.
And you're looking good on that cover.
It was a French lady that shot this and she's like 74, which is young. And she says, I'm gonna shoot you for hours. Some people only shoot for 1 hour. She goes, but you have too much energy. I want to wait till you're tired and we'll find the right picture. It was very funny. And she wore me out and got me down to that place. But there's some truth to all that. She goes, I don't want you to like project. Just be. The miracle mentality is a miracle is something that's extraordinary, uncommon, not regular. A mentality is a mindset, a frame of mind. And it's not just a play on words, but my mindset is mine to set. So it's a little later in the morning right now while we're filming this. My mind is already set. I've already done 2 hours of work from prayer, meditation, study. It's over with. I'm somewhere already. So no matter what comes at me, I'll deflect it, I'll catch it, I'll deal with it today, I'll deal with it tomorrow. So I'm not wondering and wandering. The miracle mentality is to have a miracle mindset, to set yourself in an extraordinary place. That's where my mind is, truly.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody wants to take on that same mentality, how would they go about that?
Go back to the innocence of childhood. And then, so when I go speak to kids, even in third world countries, I'll say, what do you want to be? It's always something bigger than life. Little kids, they like to play with toys that are grander than themselves. If you're a boy, Superman, I'm playing with Superman, Spider-Man, Iron Man. Little girls, I'm a princess. They want to have certain parties that are usually out there in the fairy area of imagination. So some people have challenged me on this after talking. They say, well, my childhood was miserable. I was molested. And, you know, so they always want to push back things. I go, well, sorry, that happened. So I started discussing this with some psychologist friends and two psychiatrist friends. And they agree with me. They say that even if somebody has been squashed in their childhood, they still have an imagination and they still have some innocence. And part of their imagination is get me the hell out of this house or get me out of this family or get me out of this experience. So to tap into the miracle mentality, I take people back to a place of innocence because To be in that place of innocence where it's not just thinking about death, loss, divorce, hardship, pain, paying taxes and everything else. Oof. There's some beauty in innocence. The innocence of the sun hitting your face. The innocence of a butterfly going by you. Man, I live in a lot of innocence, even though I have an adult job, you know?
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Just a couple of, I don't know if it was last weekend, a couple of days ago, basically, Robert Downey Jr. won his very first Oscar.
Yes.
And when I saw that, you know, I internally had a celebration for him because of the comeback that he has had in life. And I know you've played a role in supporting him in that comeback. When you saw he won that Oscar, what went on inside of you?
I mean, he's my real brother. So Brent Bolthouse and I were talking about this. Brent used to actually live with him when they were like 17 and 18 years of age. Mm-hmm. They go back that far and we're all best of friends and we're all, all were on a board together forever for prison reform. And to know Robert as a real friend, a guy who's so close, he calls my mother to check on my mother, but now he's worth about $500 million. So that's different. I was elated because what a comeback. But I love the fact that he's so honest that he needed a team. He had been, you know, in a relationship before with an amazing woman. It did not work out. They had a great son. They have a great son out of that relationship. But his wife, Susan, is amazing. She's just a great lady. And his team that he's put around him is amazing. From he's really into self-defense. He's really into guidance from a few of us. But no, I was just super, super excited. The people acknowledged his brilliance because he is one of the best of our time by far. I've asked many of the big actors that people would know their name. I say, who's the best? And they always say Robert's in the top three.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Well, tell us about some things you've got going on in your world. What are you excited about? I know you've got World Shakers for Men and Women.
Yeah.
You've got the Aspire Tour right now. So tell us what you're excited about and how people can participate.
Okay. So first of all, I'm excited to be talking to you too. Hello. It's a privilege. I'm excited about the role I get to play now at this stage of my life, not this age, because I don't feel like a certain age. At this stage, I've become like this mentor guy, tutor. That's how people look at me. So we developed something called World Shakers for Men. So it's 97 men that I mentor four times a month. So it's a membership thing. It's a community of powerful men. And when I say powerful, it doesn't mean they act powerful or they do powerful, but they are powerful. And so now we're doing the same thing with women, and it's called World Shakers for Women. That meets two times a month. So it's myself and some amazing women that helped me to lead that. And that's going through the eight areas of your life: your physical, your mental, your spiritual, your job, your career, your love life. And it's beautiful stuff, man. It's beautiful. I love, love, love doing it. And then the Aspire Tour is next level. I mean, so anywhere from a Kevin Hart, the comedian, to the guys from Shark Tank, to learning about money, investing, real estate. So it's a privilege to be part of that team. I'm enjoying myself, but I'm also enjoying watching both of your dreams come true and other people's dreams come true.
All right, Tim.
Awesome.
TimStory.com. And obviously we'll link you Instagram, Tim Story Official, and we'll link all your social media handles. If somebody's listening to this and they're in the midst of a setback, they're really struggling today and they just need a word of encouragement, what would you say to them?
Yeah, I think that it's not always just a play on words, but it's truly, you may not be what you want to be, but kind of like, thank God you're not what you used to be. And I think that so many times we don't give ourselves a break for how far we've come. And so life is a journey, and you may be in a difficult situation, but look how far you've come. It's 2024. That's a long way from that Prince song, "I'm gonna party like it's 1999. It's 2024. So you've come a long way. Give yourself a break, but you got to put the work in. You got to study. You got to do breath work. You got to grow. You got to reach out to us. You got to put the work in. Otherwise, you'll stay stuck. So I'm a big advocate of putting the work in. But give yourself a break and then look for people like us.
Awesome. Thanks so much for your time, Tim. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Tim.
We hope you enjoyed the episode today. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast platform and leave a review. Tell a friend about today's episode and encourage them to listen as well. Follow us on social media at Start My Next Chapter, and also check out our website, startmynextchapter.com.